Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report with your host, Brittany Broski.
Hello and welcome back, you motherfuckers! Broski Nation, it is fucking lockdown. I hate to come out of the gates like this, but guys, can we be serious for 1 minute? I need everyone at their battle stations. I need people in the Situation Room. I need people manning the fucking forts. You are not on program. Has anyone seen Andor? Andor, of course, the Star Wars miniseries. Not miniseries, the Star Wars TV show. Where he goes, on program. And that's how they get all the prisoners to like... How they get all the prisoners to fall back in line. On program! And they have to step back in their cells because the floor is electrocuted. So if they step on the floor and they're not on program, that's what I'm gonna do to Broski Nation if you bitches don't get in line! Fall in line, soldier! What I'm about to tell you may come as a shock to some. It is not news to others. If you have been getting the Broski Nation weekly news blasts, you will understand that what I'm about to tell you is fucking dire. This is dire. This is never before seen. This is never imagined. This is literally, I never thought this was going to happen, and it happened. Pedro Pascal. We got our sights on Pedro Pascal. We aimed, and we shot, and we won. Broski Nation, we divided and conquered. I get a lot of comments about... I need to teach a Broski Nation course in manifestation. And let me tell you something really quick. The secret to it, lean in close, is reverse psychology. I talk about these men and women, how much I love them, how much they have deeply impacted my life, and how through some form of sincerity in the content I make and who I am as a person, I don't know how to not be a fan. You know, I don't know. I say this all the time. I don't know how to like something normal. I don't know how to do that. When I like something, I really give it my all because I can't help it. And I think that there is some form of metaphysical wire that has been crossed or somewhere along the line where I love them so much, I don't want to meet them, and then it happens. I really don't know what else to say other than that. Every single time, when I met Harry, I did not want to, okay? The forces that be orchestrated that to happen. When I've met every other person that, like, has been just such an integral part of, like, who I am and what I love, Hozier, it has been like, I don't want that. And then inevitably it happens. I don't know what else to say. Also, if you're looking at me from this second camera angle, my hair is so fucking greasy. Please don't say anything. Please don't say anything. I've had a rough 72 hours. If you could smell me right now, onion farm. Fresh onions, chopping onions in the kitchen to put as the base in a stew, perhaps a gumbo. I smell rancid right now. I have been, like, frantically pacing around my house last time. I got home from... Okay, fucking relax. Calm down. I'll take it from the beginning. Look at my dragon mug. Here's my 2018 Renaissance Festival in Houston, Texas. What city is it in, actually? I don't remember what city. It's in Montgomery County. Renaissance Festival. Hello, Broski Nation. This past weekend, I was at Sundance Film Festival with Audible. They... They hit my team up and they were like, we would love to have Brittany be a sort of, you know, quasi host. Teffy, I think, did it for them last year. And Drew has done a bunch of stuff like this too, where, you know, they're looking for just a personality to operate on behalf of Audible and to ask some fun questions and just, you know, get people talking about audiobooks and podcasts as they relate to specifically here Sundance, because Audible was the sponsor of, like, the audio sponsor of, Sundance. And so let me just sort of, I'm going to paint this picture. Okay. So they bring me in. I've never been to Sundance before. Y'all know I'm not really like a film girl. I'm definitely more of a music head. Like, I love music and I obsess over that the way that cinephiles act towards movies. The movies I watch, as we know, if they don't have Robert Downey Jr. in them in some regard, I don't really give a shit. I don't give a fuck unless Robert Downey Jr., Matt Damon, or any of the Ocean's 11 cast is in that film at any given moment, okay? It's kind of hard to keep my attention otherwise. Now, we're at Sundance premiering some really incredible, you know, indie films. Some of them are indie films. Some of them have S-tier A-list talent in them by all-star directors. And some are documentaries. Some are, you know, it really depends. Sundance Film Festival is held in Park City, Utah. Okay? Ask me to point to that on a map. Couldn't. It's about an hour north of Salt Lake City. Ask me to point to Salt Lake City on a map. Couldn't. Until about a week ago. Okay? So we're in Park City, Utah. I am a woman of the South. I am a woman of hot weather. I am a fatty from Texas, okay? I really don't do well in the heat. I thrive in the cold, okay? We're in Park City. There's about, and I'm not joking, bitch, 2-3 feet of snow. I have never in my life seen that much snow. I've lived a well-rounded life. I've been to a lot of places. I've lived all across the southeastern United States. I've lived in Korea. I've lived in California. This, I literally felt like a child, like experiencing a winter wonderland for the first time. Like every opportunity I could, I was looking out the window. Like my forehead and nose were pressed to the glass looking at the snow. It was magical. I don't know how people live in that and are not filled with whimsy. And I mean, I could imagine probably like going to school and stuff like that. It's just fucking annoying and it's dangerous. Cause in Texas, we get like black ice on the road. You know, it's like, it doesn't snow, it fucking hails. And then everything ices and it's just slippery. It's not like that powdery Charlie Brown snow. So we're in Park City, Utah. I'm already having like a childlike experience filled with joy and wonder. Okay. My eyes are the size of saucers. I'm just looking around. I'm having a great time. They send us the run of show. And Audible had told me beforehand, you know, like, here is some of the talent we're expecting. Pedrito is premiering a movie called Freaky Tales. And Kieran Culkin and Jesse Eisenberg are premiering a movie. Glenn Powell, like, all of these people are, I'm like, holy shit, Zach Galifianakis, Will Ferrell, whatever. And then Saoirse Ronan, you know, all of these incredibly talented women as well. Jodie Foster. I just, holy shit. They told me all this, you know, like, but kind of, it was this understanding of like, but don't get your hopes up maybe. Because the way that this was structured is on Main Street in Park City, it's kind of like a little ski town, like a little ski village. And Main Street is completely blocked off and it's a bunch of pop-ups like IndieWire, Variety, all these major magazine publications that these actors and directors are stopping to do press at for their movies. And all in the meantime, there's showings of these movies as well at some of the local theaters. There's in the library locally there. So you buy the ticket, you go watch a movie. I didn't get to see any, unfortunately, but that's a different thing. We are in the Audible building, which is connected to the Variety Studio. The Variety Studio is where they were conducting like really in-depth interviews with the cast, you know, of like, why is it important to tell this story now and tell me about the process and, you know, whatever, all the like basic, if you're interviewing someone about a movie, that sort of thing. With Audible, we had this sort of understanding that we were going to be the preliminary stop before they go into the Variety Studio. And so it was going to be short and sweet. We had prepared like a lot of questions for each round of, you know, each movie that was coming through to promote their project. The publicist would come in and be like, you get one question. And it's like, shit, because some of mine were, you know, part one, A, B, and C, and then part two, D, C, and A, you know, all that. So it was like, okay, how do you find the perfect question while making it funny and while making, not funny if it calls, you know, for that sort of banter, but I want to, here's my big thing with interviewing celebrities. Now that I've found myself in this position of, for some reason, these companies trust me to bring me in, and I know that what they're looking for is a sort of moment online, you know, to be clipped and shared online. But for me, it's so much beyond that because, and I take this with kind of everything that I do. If you're having a genuine connection with that person, whether it be a celebrity, whether it be a director, whether it be a fucking lighting technician, if it's a great moment where you are seeing each other as humans and you're asking a really well thought out question, I want to make sure that that person feels respected and like I'm not wasting their time and that I care, because I do, you know, like I care a lot, because there's so much you can learn from every single person you talk to if you just live life with an open mind. So in these interviews, I was like, we have such a limited amount of time. I can't really ask the questions that I really would want to if this were my show, you know, because I was brought here by a company to do a job. I'm on the job. So I want to make them as happy as I can while also, you know, being true to myself. So we would sit down, and when the moment called for it, of course, I can't really help it. You know, I would banter with whoever I was talking to. I got some really great moments with, and we weren't filming, and I'm so fucking mad. Jesse Eisenberg and Kieran Culkin sit down, and they're premiering this movie that is about, it's based on a real life experience that Jesse Eisenberg had of a family trip that they took to Poland. And it was for, I think, a funeral, or his grandma died, and they had to go to Poland. And it's like a cousin trip, dark comedy. And Kieran and Jesse play cousins in it. And so I sit down and, you know, I had this question of like, what's the balance that you have to strike between telling a personal anecdote and then making it fictitious? You know, like how much are you willing to share? Was this supposed to be a sort of documentary biopic of sorts, or was it supposed to be, you know, invented? And Jesse was like, that's actually a great question. Yes. Fuck yes. Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg. Yes. Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg. And then Kieran was kind of quiet. But before all this, you know, before I start asking the questions, they sit down and I'm just kind of bantering with them, like no mics, no cameras are on. And it's fucking hilarious. Like, it's just so, it's everything that I want. Here's the thing. Kieran Culkin is not acting in Succession. That is Roman Roy. It is similar to how Tony Stark is Robert Downey Jr. There's really no distinction. Kieran Culkin is Roman Roy. I know that we all know this, but it was such a like, holy shit, big fan of you and your dad. Big fan of Logan Roy. I was so like, that is everything I could ever want from an interaction with Kieran Culkin. I am such a fan. I think he is, that's like my type of comedy. That's my type of humor, you know, of like just witty banter that is just so wickedly quick. It you're struggling to keep up. Those are my favorite type of people. And that is Kieran Culkin. And so he sits down and we're just bantering. And then the cameras turn on and he kind of gets quiet. And I was like, damn, I wish we'd been filming because that was just so good. Oh, and not even like to be like, hey, guys, look at this moment. It's like for me to be like, holy shit, I talked to Kieran Culkin. Anyway, that was incredible. And I asked them this question of, you know, how do you tap into the cousin dynamic perfectly? How do you really prepare to be a cousin? And, you know, Jesse answered it, whatever, like, seriously. And I go, and it does help that you guys are blood related as well. So they're like, yeah, it does help that our parents are brothers. It's a joke. So I had some moments like that. I asked Zach Galifianakis, I said, Zach, you play a father in this film. Did you watch a lot of Finding Nemo to kind of prepare for what that role entails? And he goes, no, actually, I didn't do that. I just actually became a father to prepare for the role. I became a real life father. Like, so funny. I asked Glenn Powell, I was like, Glenn, you are a co-writer, a producer, you star in this film, you did hair and makeup, you're the caterer, you did prosthetics, how did you do it all? And he started laughing. I was like, damn, I got, these men are wrapped around my finger, they want me so bad. I saw a comment on the post that I put up on Instagram that was like, oh my God, they all wanted you so bad. I was like, it's like swatting away flies, but guys, stop, I'm working. Guys, seriously, I'm working right now. If you could just like keep the flirtiness to a bare minimum, okay? To a skeletal minimum. Anyway, so Pedrito, Jose Pedro Balmaceda Pascal. I'm going to hold my Mandalorian Funko Pop while I talk about this. I watched The Mandalorian when it came out, 2020, 2019, 2020. Really enjoyed it. Watched it with my dad. You guys know that like me and my whole family are such Star Wars adults. And I really enjoyed The Mandalorian. It's something that I bonded with my family over. Then, of course, because I'm a fucking weirdo, I took it to a level that is mentally concerning, okay? The Mandalorian fan fiction started. Then I started buying the t-shirts and the hoodies and the, oh, I'm crying suddenly meeting him at Disneyland, okay? It's just like, I, again, don't really have it figured out yet how to be normal about things. Mandalorian Funko Pop in my hand. Now, Funko Pop adult, I'm just now realizing maybe I am one. Hey, that doesn't feel great. I don't feel great about myself. You think I come on this podcast and feel good about myself? No. I'm humiliated. Okay? Fucking Funko Pop adult. Anyway, Mandalorian. That was my introduction to Pedro Pascal. I have heard of Narcos and all this beforehand. Of course, I was the biggest Game of Thrones fan. I still am. Here is my Iron Throne with me on it. And of course, we banished the Night King back here onto the set. Oberyn Martell, slay, you know? since learning about him, y'all know that it's become, he's one of those, what's Brooke's system of like tiers of celebrities? He is like one of the top for me. He's entered that level of, I want to be you, I think. There's three up there. Pedro, Harry, Robert Downey Jr. I love them so much, I want to be them. I want to embody the qualities that they represent. Seeing him in real life, first of all, it was the way that it kind of happened was they all walked in the room. It was the whole cast of this movie. The movie's called Freaky Tales. It's about the director being from the Bay Area, and it follows, I think, four different storylines in the late 80s of people who are from that area and kind of how their lives, I don't know if their lives intersect or just how different they are. And he's in it, and I got to ask one question about how all the actors breathe life into the characters that they portray. You know, how do you go about picking the perfect character voice? And in more ways than one, voice, yes, physically, you know, what voice are you doing for this character? But also voice in the sort of realm of worldview, you know, their voice in life. I got to ask just that question really quickly, and he answered it, and he kind of had a funny answer. And then they had to leave. And I was like, that's okay. Like, that's okay. I've resigned myself to this, like, I'm here to do a job. I don't need every fucking moment to be like, oh, can I get a picture? Can I get a picture? Because that's just a weird environment to do that in. Like, we're all professionals. You know, like, I want to be professional. I don't want to be a fangirl. And I can compose myself. Like, I really can. I really, this past weekend was such a, I impressed myself with how well I can reel it in. Because I just kept reminding myself, I'm being paid to be here and do a job. Like, I'm not going to freak the fuck out that that's Bucky Barnes. That's actually going to be Sebastian Stan from Pam and Tommy and going to be Bucky Barnes. I'm really not going to freak out about that because I'm normal. I'm normal. And anyone who says otherwise is a fucking liar and a hater. I'm very normal. So Pedro, you know, comes in the room, talks. He looks me in my eye, freak out, fucking freak out. And then they leave. And I don't get a chance to introduce myself. I'm like, you know what? That's okay. Like, I'm a little disappointed, but it's not about me. Like, this is about, you know, I'm here with a company. Well, one of the people from Audible, who is a fucking sweetheart, got really close to him over the weekend, comes up to me and he's like, you want a picture with Pedro? And I'm like, I don't want to bother him. Like, if they're on running out, you know, whatever, no. And he was like, he's just right there. Like, he's just lingering. Do you want to? And I was like, okay, if he's not doing anything, okay, fine. And so he grabs my elbow and we go, and then he's, and also I'm friends with Pedro and Sebastian Stan and James Franco. Like, she's the like makeup artist, quote unquote, the groomer for a lot of these famous Hollywood men. Her name's Coco Ulrich. And she is just a fucking sweetheart. And I mean, honestly, this has always been said, but it's so fucking true of women and makeup artists and all the people behind the camera are the spine of this industry. The actors are nothing without those people. The actors, the directors, the screenwriters, all of these people are so much, I would argue, more important than the actors themselves, because without them, you don't have a production. You don't have a show. You can't do it by yourself. So I have such just the most ultimate respect for glam teams and, you know, all the people who get there earlier than the actors and directors and they leave later. It's just a thankless job. And yes, they get paid to do it, but it's just like so much is required of it. And she was there working on multiple clients. And so she was there with Pedro for this day. And she comes up to me. Like, I've been following her for a long time. And she came up to me and she was like, Brittany, I'm such a fan. It's Coco. Like, I was like, holy shit, you're Coco. And so I get a picture with her. And she was like, it's so nice to meet you. Hope to see you soon. I was like, yeah, bitch, you too. Big fan. And then after that, so when I went up to Pedrito, eventually, we're in the hallway. And they're like, Pedro, could Brittany get a picture? She just interviewed you. And he's like, yeah, of course. So nice. So lovely. And I go, blacked out immediately. Thank God we got a video, because that's how I remember it, how I remember this. I said, hola, Pedrito. And he said, hola, ¿qué tal? And I was like, I'm a big fan of yours, but I think I'm actually a bigger fan of Coco. Like, Coco's really the best. And he goes, oh, girl, she loves you. She loves you. He said it multiple times. Oh, so y'all have talked about. So y'all have talked about. Right, 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 right. y'all have talked about me. Right. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, yes, perfect. Oh, she loves you. I said, oh, okay. So we start giggling over that. And then, because I said, I'm a big fan, bigger fan of Coco. He was like, oh, I understand. And then we take the picture. He has this little pin on his trench coat that says lead with love. This is what I'm fucking talking about, dude. You're doing press all day. You're going to be on camera all day. You've been styled. You know, you've been groomed, whatever. And that it's just like, I really don't have words. I just want to, I love him to goddamn death. Someone comes and like fixes his pin and then we take the picture. He's so, so sweet to do that. He did not have to take a picture with me, but he did. And then afterward, as he's walking away, I was like, oh, and I have to show you this because I've had this, my Mandalorian case to fight case on my phone for probably like a year and a half at this point. And he goes, what did he say? Again, blacked out, had to watch the video again. He goes, just you wait. What the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? Just you wait, huh? Anyway, that was it. And then he walked away and I said, thank you, Pedro. Muchas gracias, Pedro. Ojalá que tenga un buen día. I was talking to my Spanish tutor, Maddie, afterward, like, as I told her about it this morning, and I was like, you know, he's from Chile. He's Chileno. And her boyfriend is Chileno. And I was like, I should have gone up to him and been like, hola, ¿qué tal, weón? I would have called him a dickhead. What's up, you fucking asshole? Hey, thank God I didn't. Me trying to fucking bum it with Pedro Pascal. Hola, ¿qué tal, weón? Can you be serious for 1 minute? Hey! Anyway, that was the extent of it. He was so, so lovely. I blacked out. I don't really remember all that was said. But, yeah. I just love him, dude. Oh, Glenn Powell was so nice. Like, he was so nice. And he's so just like, look, dude, I've seen Top Gun, right? I saw Top Gun in theaters 3 times. Don't fucking ask questions you already know the answer to. I saw Top Gun in theaters 3 times for Miles Teller. I've been a Miles Teller woman since 2011. Don't fucking even start, okay? Hangman, Glenn Powell, and Top Gun. Of course, he's like that classically gorgeous Hollywood starlet, right? Everyone loves just like a cute white man. He's just a cute white man, right? And he looks like an aviator. He looks like an Air Force serviceman. Played the role great. He is so charming in person. I was like, oh, I'm excited to talk to Glenn Powell. He was the first one of the day. I was like, I hope he's not diva. Because that's the thing with all these celebrities and anyone. It's like, God, I hope they're not a diva. And if they are, and it's warranted, period, bitch. Like, if I was meeting Cher or, like, fucking Helen Mirren or Meryl Streep and they were mean to me, I'd be like, that's actually so period. Like, that's so period. That's deserved. Like, I'm sorry. You know, like, that was probably my fault. Everyone was very lovely. I met Jodie Foster. So lovely. Just so, so nice. Glenn Powell, very nice. I met Agent Coulson. Freak the fuck out. Almost called him Agent Coulson. Okay, don't do that. Coulson! Nice of you to make it. Okay? There were so, so many people. Also, it's just a crazy, crazy thing, dude. At events like this, when I am interfacing with people of an industry that everyone loves. You know, everyone loves the entertainment industry. Like, it's all anyone talks about. It's the celebrities and movies and this and that. And now to have that be so real and tangible, it honestly has made me more like, I think it's even more silly now. I've always thought this job is silly. This job is goofy and silly and wacky. And while it can be very serious, you know, in terms of when you talk about your reach and the true influence that you hold, above all else, it is silly because what I do and so many people do online is just fucking stupid. It's entertainment. Entertainment is stupid. When I go to events like this and I hear people talking about their projects they're working on, like the privilege to be able to make creative projects for a living and have people care and listen and buy it and watch it and, you know, buy into your vision, it's just so silly. It's so made up and it's so fun. And I'm just, I pinch myself to think that I was even allowed in a room with these people, first of all. And second of all, that someone trusted me to represent their brand in that way and to carry myself in a way that will deliver a product, will deliver a deliverable that, you know, it's just a good time. My number one thing, like I said, is I want to make these celebrities feel comfortable. That's kind of the mission with Royal Court, with everything like this that I do. And I did the Barbie premiere. It's just like, I know what it feels like to be on the receiving end of an interview where this person doesn't know who the fuck you are, or they didn't care enough to look up, you know, what you've been a part of or what you do. Or, and I'm not saying that what I do is anything to be noteworthy, but like, you know, people spend a lot of time and money developing these creative projects. The least you can do is just kind of be informed. I hope I did a good job, and I'm watching back the clips, and, you know, it felt like such a minor thing when you talk about, you know, People Magazine or Variety or any of these really major publications that are actually getting to talk to them about what I want to talk to them about, you know, of like the kind of more serious parts of the craft and creatively what, you know, kind of the energy I put into my interview with Hozier. I wish I could give that to every single celebrity I talk to, because I think that a lot of these Hollywood, press outlets just don't ask the right questions. Y'all have been asking the same fucking questions for the last 38 years in Hollywood. How does it feel to be at the tonight? What do you wear? No one fucking cares. Ask them a question that no one's asked them before, that is actually introspective and actually is something they want to answer. That is the number one thing for me. So with the guidelines I was given, I hope that I was able to do something similar. So that was my Sundance recap. Zach Galifianakis, hilarious. Saoirse Ronan, I'd die for her any day. Speaking of Irish people. Speaking of the Irish, if you will. Okay, I'm going to scream a lot in the next 10 minutes. So just, I'm preparing you. I'm going to try to lean away from the microphone. So just, you've been warned. If any of you remember, this might have been a TikTok exclusive thing, or maybe I did talk about it on this podcast. I don't remember. There is.
Shut up.
There is an internet creator by the name of Cavern Kingston. Cavern Kingston is an alias that this person uses. It's a completely made up name. I don't remember his real name at this moment in time, of course. It has slipped my mind. He used to be a Disney adult YouTuber, okay? Made really cute content, like with his then girlfriend. They would like, and he's British, so I guess he would fly to fucking Orlando once a month. I don't really know what the budget was looking like production wise for him at this time. I don't really know. However, he was going to Disney multiple times a year and they would vlog it. And of course, yeah, it's fucking adorable. Everything I could ever want in life. Okay. I think they broke up at some point in time, maybe like 5-6 years ago. He now goes ahead and lives in a van, I'm pretty positive of. And I discovered him because on TikTok, he would make these videos associated with book talk. They would have him read, you know, like a line or some ACOTAR stuff. Like they would have him read some lines as Resand from ACOTAR. And he's got this beautiful deep voice that's just, it's going to make me squeeze my legs together, okay? It's going to make me squeeze my legs together. And he's very cute, just, you know, like average white guy, just really cute white guy, really tall, lives in a van. I'm not sure if he is still living in a van at this time. I don't know if the production budget went to the Disney trips and now lives in a van. I think he lives in an apartment now, but he would like document his van life and how freeing it was. And he had a podcast called Cavern Cast, which I think he still does. I don't know. This lore runs deep. I hope y'all are sticking with me. It's getting somewhere, I promise. He had a podcast called Cavern Cast that was posted on Spotify, on YouTube, and he started posting videos on YouTube. And now I'm like, okay, now we're cooking with peanut oil, because I thought he was so cute. And I was like, I need to see more of this young gentleman. Show me, see, mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall, show me him. Mirror, mirror on the wall, show me this guy's balls, please. Hey, Siri, show me these guys' balls. Anyway, he starts posting YouTube videos. He's doing, like, Edgar Allan Poe poetry readings. He's doing ASMR poetry. And then it starts evolving into this, like, other than reading poems and reacting to them or whatever, he's picking three or four just random topics off of a word generator, and he's talking about them. And I'm actually not going to share that. About to say, because I used to listen to this podcast and be delusional, okay? So I was a big fan of Kevin Kingston, and then I kind of forgot about him. Like, I think he stopped posting, or he like took a break, and I just forgot about him. And he recently has started posting again on TikTok, and so of course he has come back across my desk, okay? The paperwork has been thrown across my desk, and I'm like, ah, shit, ah, let me catch up on the fucking. So I've been back in the Kevin Kingston of it all. I recently, okay, put a pin in that. Let me go to the tandem, the section that was 1A. This is 1B. Okay. I get a TikTok on my For You page that is an Irishman doing. I get a TikTok on my For You page. That is an Irishman, couldn't tell you his name, couldn't tell you what part of Ireland. He's going to be reading some smut on the Christian app that is known as Quinn, okay? Now, if no one knows Quinn, let me go ahead and enlighten you. Quinn is going to be an audio erotica app. Similar to, of course, oh my God, I forgot to tell you, I used to subscribe to Cavern's Patreon. This is the most soul-bearing thing that anyone could ever really like. I mean, there's going to be comments like, you couldn't waterboard this out of me. Hey, I'll give it up for free. I'll just go ahead and offer it up for free. I used to subscribe to Cavern's Patreon because he would read spicy audios, okay? And curiosity got the better of me. I paid for it. Then I canceled it. On Quinn, I watched this TikTok and I'm like, bought and sold, hook, line, and sinker, you fucking got me. Quinn claims another victim, and it's fucking me, dude. I go to the app store, okay? I'm typing Quinn. I go ahead and hit download. I'm sitting there waiting for it, okay? It pops up on my iPhone. I click on it. Imagine my utter shock and horror at seeing Kevin Kingston on the homepage for Quinn, for quinn.gov, quinn.edu. Kevin Kingston, number one most recommended audio entertainer on this Christian app. I click on it. Of course. Why? Guys, hold on. Why? Are you mad? I click on it because that's my man. I think I convinced myself I was dating him for like a month at one point in 2022. Okay. I click on it. It is, and like, whatever. It's a guided masturbation. What the fuck are you nonging about? How did we go from Edgar Allan Poe ASMR poetry reading on youtube.gov to guided masturbation, Kevin Kingston, Quinn.com. Of course, I paid $4.99 a month for it. Okay. How did we get there? I click on it. You think I'm strong enough to not click on it? I clicked on it. I'm listening to it. I had to call Brooke. I had to move forward with calling Lady Ephron and telling her about what I had discovered. Okay. I would recommend you go ahead and give it a listen for yourself, because the thoughts I have, I don't know if I could publish to youtube.com. Go listen to it. Now, that is separate. I got about halfway through it and I was kind of into it. And then I was like, I know too much about him to finish this. Kevin, big fan. Kevin Kingston, I know y'all are going to fucking clip this and send it to him. Big, big fan. I think I was supposed to go on his podcast. He like reached out to me. Well, I reached out to him, of course, because I want him. I did go ahead and reach out to him because I want him. Y'all act like this is new fucking territory that we're in, okay? I was supposed to go on Caverncast, didn't, okay? Whatever. Let's put a pin in that for a second. I exit out of this media. Okay, I think I've had enough of this media. I go ahead and go into The Irishman. The audio episode that I'm referring to that I saw on TikTok literally dropped my jaw and went to rush to download Quinn is called it's called Irish Hospitality by the Devil of Dublin. I need to like take a fucking breath. Like I'm actually gonna start tearing up. Like I'm so overcome with emotion in this moment. I might need to go run out and stand outside. Like I need like a cool gust of wind down my back. This audio, you thought Badger was one thing? You thought, oh, you thought with Badger we were rocking with it? Oh, no. Badger's doing like British boyfriend, ghost, Koenig, German accent, Austrian accent, whatever. Like, yeah, I'm into it, dude. Like, and it gets rough and dirty, okay? This audio had me like verbally out loud during listening to it. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. I did not realize that what does it for me is an Irish accent. Anything I have ever said on this app, on this platform, on this creative medium about an Irish accent, I did not have Ireland up here on this map for the longest time. I take it all back. I rescind it. Your Honor, I would like to rescind my statement. Please let the record reflect that I'm rescinding my statement. The Irish accent did more for me than my government ever has. The Irish accent in The Devil of Dublin, Irish Hospitality on Quinn.com. I'm like, I need to go stand outside. Like, I need to go to the bathroom. Like, holy shit. Whoever the fuck that voice actor is, it's over. It's over. The Devil of Dublin. A dark Irish mafia romance. It's a book! Devil of Dublin, Quinn. Is this the same thing? Actor, Dublin, Ireland, speak of the devil and he shall appear. The room. Okay, should I read the description? Will it let me? Yeah, bro, I already fucking subscribed. Okay, here it is. Wait, no, I can't read this out loud. Holy shit. The room you rented has a problem. That's the description. And then it's got a bunch of tags about what it is. So this is actually going to be NSFW 18 and up. If you are a woman of the Lord, go ahead and, you know, I would click off. If you're a woman of the Lord who values chastity, piety, virginity, purity, I would go ahead and click off of quinn.edu. That is not going to be for you. Okay. Now, I'm rocking with this. After this, I laid in, of course, my room in the cold darkness. And I had to come to Jesus with myself about, you ever have to do that? I was like, what are you? I find some stuff out about myself where I'm like, Jesus Christ, what are you? I thought I knew you. Things are being revealed every day. I'm in the video game of my life and things are being revealed to me that I just had no clue about, okay? Character arcs unbeheard of. Be heard? I need a man with a beard so bad that I'm starting to develop an ulcer. I need a man with a beard so bad that my stomach is forming acid that is eating away at itself. It is a hernia, it is an ulcer, it is something so horrible growing in my stomach. The yearning has manifested physically. The yearning, I thought I had it under control, I don't. The pining, the yearning, it's now physically in my body. I cannot rid myself of it. I thought it was kind of stuck up here in the pink matter of the brain. Wrong. It's in my stomach. I wake up every morning and I say, oh, I need a man with a beard so bad. I double over in pain. I see a man with a beard on the street and I go, oh my God. I clutch my stomach in my mouth. It's so bad, dude. It's so bad. I need a man with a beard. Imagine if Ninja got a low tape of fade. I didn't mean with a beard and a low taper fade. Imagine if Ninja got a low taper fade. And then he did. And then Ninja got a low taper fade. And now the bit's over. Play that video. Play the video I'm talking about. Imagine if Ninja got a low taper fade. Anyway, get into Quinn. This app, that was the first sound, those two, Caverns and The Devil of Dublin, were the first two I listened to. And I literally had to throw my cell phone across the room and go look in the mirror and be like, who the fuck are you? I don't know who you are. Unless the young gentleman that I'm expressing interest in is Irish, I'm not interested. Truly, like my physical chemistry has changed. I don't know what's wrong with me. What am I becoming? Oh my God, I need an Irishman so bad. I know we had a change of plans. I met Pedrito. I thought I was gonna, you know, like my life is here with him. No, my life is in Ireland. We're doing a Broski Nation international tour. The headquarters have moved from Dallas to Los Angeles to temporarily they were in Toronto and Madrid, Spain. No, girl, they're in Dublin. I got to start familiarizing myself with this. Yeah, Dublin, moving to Dublin. Because that's probably a short train ride. I wonder what Irish trains are like. I wonder what Irish trains are like. What's like a famous Irish food other than potatoes? Famous Irish food. Oh, shit. This is going to become my new thing. Coddle, cottage pie, seafood chowder. Fucking gross. Irish soda bread? I'm gluten-free now. I can't. Bacon and cabbage. Fucking with that. Ulster fry. This seems very, very British. What's the national dish of Ireland? Irish stew. An easy and flexible meal that's commonly considered the national dish of Ireland. An Irish-American and Amy Lawless. Okay, well, I don't want someone from America. Generally made with mutton, onions, carrots, celery, and potatoes. Mutton is crazy. How to make Irish stew. Hosier, I'm gonna figure this out for us. Andrew, don't you worry. I'm gonna be making this Irish beef stew. I will try my damn hardest, girl. I don't know what else to do. I can't suffer. Oh my days. I can't marry an Irishman. The food's gonna be so fucking bad. It's gonna be so fucking... Oh my God. I can't do it. Oh my God. Oh, my mouth is watering thinking about it. I'm gonna fucking vomit. I'm going to be sick on the fucking floor. Carrots, potatoes, celery, turnips, Swedes. Y'all put Swedish people in your stew? Parsnips, leek, kale, and cabbage. Sounds delicious, honestly. I wonder, the more southern you get in Europe, they start incorporating noodles. Like, a lot of these stews and stuff would be, like, at what point, how far south you got to get before there's, like, penne in it, you know? Or, like, bow tie pasta. Is bow tie pasta an American thing? Bow tie pasta, where is it? Northern Italy. Oh. Farfalle. In the Italian region of Emilia-Romagna, farfalle are known as stricchetti, a local word for bow ties. A larger variation of farfalle is known as farfalloni, while the miniature version is called farfallini. Farfalle! Date back to the 16th century in the Lombardy and Emilia-Romagna regions of Northern Italy. Now that is interesting. Oh my God, did y'all ever watch that Stanley Tucci Italian documentary I told you to watch? If you haven't, pause this right fucking now and go watch it. Stanley Tucci, Italy, Searching for Italy. Oh my sweet Lord. I love this man more than I love most things in this lifetime. Oh wow. Oh my God, I'm gonna rewatch this tonight. I love him. Did he do a season 2? Oh my God, it is now streaming on Max. Max Amazon channel, Discovery Plus, Amazon channel, DirecTV, Discovery Plus. That is tea. Yeah, Stanley Tucci would die for him any day of the week. Just ask me. Where's pasta mostly eaten? Italy. Okay, they're not the only country that eats Italy. You know what? What am I thinking of where it's that sort of rice that looks like a noodle? Vermicelli? Or no, that's a noodle. It's a type of pasta. What the fuck am I thinking of? Rice that looks like pasta. Orzo. Y'all ever had orzo? Vermicelli rice. I'm so smart. Vermicelli rice, also known as Lebanese rice. See, that's what I'm talking about. This, like, this sort of area, if you're not watching, I'm pointing to sort of like the Middle East, sort of like Mediterranean area. That's like, they start to incorporate, I guess, rice and pasta. But like in France, there's not really a lot of noodle-based dishes. In Germany and all that, not really noodle-based. It's very meat and potatoes-based. I mean, I know that it's based on what grows there and what they cultivated to become part of the cultural cuisine, but maybe I'm talking out of my ass. Vermicelli rice, also known as Lebanese rice or rouz macharia. Vermicelli rice is a type of rice pilaf that is made with basmati rice and toasted vermicelli noodles and seasoned with salt. It's mostly used in soups. Yeah, and rice isn't really eaten in like the north and west of Europe, the northwest of Europe. But it is in the southern, in Spain, in Portugal, and all those sort of cultures. It's very, very heavily ingrained. Now, see, I could actually go on a rabbit hole of this. And you know what I talked about last week? I wanted to go over the seven deadly sins. Maybe I'll do that on the next episode. Yeah, I'll do that on the next episode. Because that, let me pop an edible and then we'll talk about the seven deadly sins. Because that is something that I could imagine myself caring about way more than I probably should. Okay? What is the national dish of Germany? Sauerbraten. Ooh, Sauerbraten, pronounced... What the fuck am I supposed to do with that? Why would they put the pronunciation in like... that looks like Russian. Sauerbraten is a traditional German roast of heavily marinated meat. That actually looks fucking delicious. I'm actually not going to lie to you. It is regarded as a national dish of Germany and is frequently served in German-style restaurants internationally. The thing that they serve the most... especially, I mean, and I'm speaking from experience here, when I've been to little German towns in Texas, because they were settled by German immigrants, like New Braunfels or Schlitterbahn, or Fredericksburg, actually. Fredericksburg was the second German town in Texas founded by the Adelsweden, better known as the Society for the Protection of German Immigrants. What's the most German town in Texas? Fredericksburg, period. Also New Braunfels. Why did Germans settle in Fredericksburg? The emigration was in part the liberal, educated Germans fleeing the social, political, and economic conditions that later resulted in the Revolution of 1848. Damn. I didn't know this. The most I know about German emigration, and I say emigration because there's a difference. Immigration with an E is the act of leaving one's own country to settle permanently in another. And immigration with an I is the act of coming to live permanently for. Okay, what the fuck? Immigration versus emigration definition. Emigrate means to leave one's country to live in another. Immigrate is to come into another country to live permanently. So I guess one implies that you won't be there forever. So emigrate to and immigrate from, I guess, is the distinction there. Where you're coming from versus where you're going to. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Linguistic sidetrack. Oh, I just opened up the Devil of Dublin thing again. Now I'm going to be thinking about it for the rest of the episode. Shit. Anyway, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, Fredericksburg and New Braunfels. Yeah, those are like really German towns in Texas, and they have really fantastic German food there. And what I always get is schnitzel. Schnitzel's so fucking good. They serve it with like those really good garlic mashed potatoes and, yeah, schnitzel. A schnitzel, colloquially known in Australian English, hey, didn't ask, is a schnitty? Not a schnitty. Yeah, can we get some schnitties? There's this guy on TikTok that I'm literally in love with, and I don't know his name. It's two Australian best friends. Let me pull it up. Olive Sten is his name. I'll put it up here. Olive Sten. They're just Australian. Austin and Oliver. That's their names. They're both absolutely gorgeous. And I think about them all the time. I don't know if y'all follow them. They came across my For You page. They're not particularly funny in any sort of sense. They're just very beautiful to look at. So that's kind of all. Schnitzel, also known as a schnitty. The meat is usually thinned by pounding with a meat tenderizer, and most commonly the meat is breaded before frying. Breaded schnitzel is popular in many countries and is made using veal, pork, chicken, mutton, beef, or turkey. So I usually get a chicken schnitzel or veal. Veal's delicious as well. And they do it with lemon on top. Oh, it's so good. And especially in those little towns like Fredericksburg and New Braunfels. Very, very delicious. And you can float. Me and Bestie Tato float the river in New Braunfels and Fredericksburg. I think it runs through both. Okay, to wrap up, I would like to give you my songs of the week. Now, fair warning. All of them are by Noah Kahan. Every single last one is by Noah Kahan. I am late to the Noah Kahan train. I am sorry about that. Northern Attitude came out when Hozier jumped on, and I was like, all right, fine. I guess I'll fucking give this guy a shot. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I've always heard you're either a Hozier girl, a Mumford girl, or a Noah Kahan girl. If you're talking about the, like, you know, I guess trinity of indie folk. I am a Hozier girl, always will be, first and foremost. I am utterly and irrevocably obsessed, you know, hook, line, and sinker, bought and sold into Hozier's discography. It has affected me in so many ways. Him as a person has affected me in so many ways. And I just, you know, the worldview he has to share, I've literally spoken about this ad nauseum. I will not continue for the sake of y'all's listening ears. Now, to have the discography that Noah Kahan already does, the collabs that he already does, and I know he's been doing this for a while, and just last year, or maybe 2022, he really found success with Stick Season. I finally took the opportunity to dive more headfirst into his discography. Holy shit, by the way. Also incredible collabs that he's managed to strike thus far with Hozier, Sam Fender, Mumford & Sons, Zach Bryan, Casey Musgraves, all these incredibly talented, well-established people that to land a collab and have the collabs be good, crazy. And again, I'm new. I'm new to being a Noah Kahan head, okay? To being a conquer. I'm a new conquer. Okay. Paul Revere by Noah Kahan. Love that song. Love that song. Your Needs, My Needs. Holy shit! I saw this for the first time, a live thing. It was recommended to me on YouTube. And I pulled it up and I was like, let me give this Noah guy a chance. I pulled it up and he does the crazy guys on stage. I'm you caught me. Yep. I'm sucked in. Yep. I'm here with you. I love a man who can, and he is so fucking funny. That's more important. You can be an ass musician. If you're charming and you're funny, that's all. You got me. I bought a ticket. I'll be at the show singing every word. If you are funny, usually the way that life works out, because sometimes life can be fair. Usually it's unfair. Sometimes it's fair. If you are wickedly intelligent and witty and, you know, quick on your feet, more often than not, you are very creatively inclined. You are very creatively, all cylinders are firing, you know? And some of them, I think the curse of creativity and the curse of having that intelligence sort of weigh down on you, the burden of knowledge is depression. A lot of really famous creatives, I've talked about that a lot on this podcast too, have been clinically severely depressed. And I think it's the weight of knowing, you know, ignorance is bliss. And I truly, truly believe that. So a lot of artists are tortured, you know, tortured artists, the sort of tortured creative archetype. To be that smart, to be that witty, to have so much awareness, I don't know how you can not let that impact your art or impact your sort of well of inspiration. Obviously, a lot of his music is very sad. I saw this tweet that was about, it said like, Noah Kahan's music be like, I'm sorry, I'm a narcissistic asshole with a substance abuse problem. It was cold in Vermont. Something like that. Sorry, it was cold where I grew up. Funny, made me laugh. Anyway, it is that. It kind of hit it on the nose of like being so hyper aware of your problems and understanding that there is a reason why relationships fail, or, you know, maybe you played a part, or maybe you weren't willing to admit that you weren't right for each other or whatever. And incorporating the beautiful Mumford of it all, you know, with like the crazy banjo, and oh my God, he's a great singer. Like, he's got a really great voice. Big fan. Your Needs, My Needs. I watched that video of him performing it live and I was like, oh yeah, where have I been? Okay, I'm here now. That's what really matters. Would love to have Noah on Royal Court. Holy shit. Dream guest. Okay. Orange Juice. Orange Juice, great song. All My Love. You got all my love. All my love. Obsessed with it. So good. Love his song with Casey as well. And then Northern Attitude, of course. The Northern Attitude original song, fantastic, really great. The remix with Hozier, freaked the fuck out, peed in my pants. Piss dribbled down my leg to the floor, got in my high top Converse, okay? Oh, I'm squishing, I'm squelching around. Oh shit, there's piss in my, you know, so good. The part halfway through when the bass, and Hozier does his, it's over. Shut it down. Kill it. Pull the plug. It's over. I listened to that song on repeat for a week straight. And I just recently rediscovered it after like 2 months. Now it's on repeat again. Go listen to all those. Tell me what you think about Noah Kahan and Broski Nation. Are we going as a team to go see him live? Let me know. Okay. Thank you for listening. Please rate this 5 stars. Please, guys. I'm really just seriously. Rate it 5 stars wherever you listen to it. Broski Nation, Broski Report merch is now available on broski.shop. Go give that a listen. Again, don't look at my greasy roots. If you've been looking at my roots this whole time, you're a misogynist. And go ahead and subscribe to this YouTube channel if you're watching it on YouTube. And if you're not, head on over to YouTube, guys. Subscribe to the Broski Report YouTube channel. I think we just hit 500K. That's crazy. And subscribe to my normal YouTube channel, Brittany Broski, if you're not. I do a new video every week. New episode of Royal Court every month. And of course, new episode of Broski Report every week as well. I am booked and busy living, loving, laughing. Okay? Thank you guys so much for watching. Trying to think if I have any other plugs to do. No, I'm going to actually spend the rest of the night on Quinn. So if you have any questions for me, I will have Do Not Disturb on. So please leave me alone. Okay. Love you guys. And thank you for letting me do this job. And now fuck off.